Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have a conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. All right, it's time to optimize. And I don't mean your website, people. I mean your performance. And this is probably something that all of us could use a little dose of. I brought in an expert to tell me all about it, an expert that is also from one of Startup Hustle's top Chicago startups. Before I introduce him and give you a little more background, before he gives you a little more background about himself and what they do, I want to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. With me today is Brett Johnson, and Brett is the founder and CEO of the Switched On training app, which you likely heard all about in our episode about top Chicago startups, where Lauren Conway and I debated about what it is these people even do. We're going to hear all about it. Brett, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, and I like to say that no one gives the real picture of what's going on and what you do better than CEOs and founders. You are both. So, dude, what do you guys do with the Switched On training app, and how are we going to optimize performance today?
Yeah, so basically what our app does is it provides randomized cues in the form of colors, numbers, arrows that you react to with specific actions or movements, so you can train your physical and cognitive skills simultaneously.
So what is that useful for? What am I training? Just to like recognize green faster or something different?
Right. Yeah. So just to give a little background about me too, so it makes sense. I'm a former professional soccer player. I played all over the world in England, Germany, Australia, all over the US, and spent a lot of time in my undergrad also getting a degree in neuroscience. So I was super interested in like the role that the brain played in performance, and especially how important it is to, performing under pressure, to avoiding distractions, staying focused in games, to reacting faster. And when I was playing in Germany, we had coaches who are very advanced in terms of neuroscience as it relates to sports, who were coming and showing random colors instead of just doing physical movements. So I heard that you played sports. What sports did you play?
I mean, I didn't play sports like you did, but I played baseball, basketball, and football. And I believe I mentioned in the episode, like one of the things that we used to do with baseball, because, with baseball, you're trying to spot the spin on the ball. So they would write numbers on them, or like sometimes tennis balls or just different things. And, here's this ball spinning and you're trying to read that it has a one on it or an eight or something like that. And, and by the way, that's really hard to do. So, yeah. But in 1990, and prior, that was about as high as this technology got. And I've seen stuff like this out there, just different training stuff. And that's about as aware of it as I've become.
Yeah, no, that's super common, just because what they're finding is that it's not just about the physical skills. So typically when you're training by yourself, especially for a sport like when you're playing for baseball, for basketball, for anything that's dynamic, so it's easier to explain the sports that it doesn't relate to. So maybe golf or cross country, where you're doing the same repetitive physical movement. Everything you do is based off of reacting to something that you see or hear. So this neurological functioning of seeing or hearing something and then processing that information and then physically reacting is something that isn't typically trained. So when you're doing those sorts of drills, you're trying to stress the perceptual and cognitive component while actually using your physical skills. So what we're doing is trying to give you a more efficient way to train, which is more replicable to what you experience during games. Reactive, it makes you focus. So when you go into games, you train both these physical and cognitive skills.
So when it comes to training, let's talk a little bit about your app for a second. I mean, what I know, I got the background of you as an athlete and also your educational background, but what really drove you to start this company?
Yeah, it was I played at a small D3 school, so I didn't really have a whole lot of resources. I didn't really know how to make it to the professional level. But I decided after I graduated, I was just going to do literally whatever it took. I was like, I'm going to give myself 2 years and I'm going to make it to the professional level. And I spent just a disgusting amount of time training by myself. And that's when I realized when I'm training by myself, that's the biggest problem, is everything I'm doing is just predetermined movements, meaning I know what I'm doing before I do it. And when I would get into games, physically I was good, technically I was good, but I wasn't reacting fast enough. I wasn't focusing externally on what's going on around me. I was focusing on my own movements, which were already good. So once you have the physical skills developed, then you need to learn how to use them in games. And I was like, I need a way to get this type of training by myself. And the way to do it is so simple. It's just by reacting to simple cues that you have externally. And in order for me to get it, I had to get my brother or my dad or find some random person on the street. Like, hey, can you say random things to me so I can react to them? Which was just crazy, because you can do it so simply just using your phone. And what I did initially was started making slideshows. So it was like the color red, a blank screen, the color blue, a blank screen. And I was going to parks and training like that. And people were asking to buy it from me. I'm like, buy it from me? Like, this is on YouTube for free. You can go get it right now. And that's when I was like, well, if I can randomize these and customize it and use different cues and then do preset drills and favorite drills and everything you can do with it, just with the way that cell phones are advancing, I was like, this can be an unbelievable training tool for anybody. So people who are like me, who are ambitious, who wanted to strive for these big goals, can get quality training using just their mobile device.
So let me try to make this as layman as it can be here. Mm-hmm. So let's take your sport, soccer, and say if I'm using your app, like, am I running backwards and then I see green and that means to like go 45 degrees to the right?
You can.
Red means to the left, and it's just like a visual cue, and I do this, I do that, I go up, I go down, something like that.
You can. You want to make it as sports specific as possible. So let's take baseball for example. You can replicate base stealing. So what you would do is you would lead off, you would put the phone where you'd be looking in the game. So where you'd be looking is where the pitcher is, and specifically like maybe where their hip is or maybe where their shoulders are, if you want to get more advanced and make it as sport specific as possible. And then you want to associate cues with different movements. So maybe red means go back, maybe green means go, or you can make it more challenging. So you can use a bunch of numbers and say, evens means go back, odds means steal, and then you can manipulate it. And it's this new whole form of science that's very new, but it's this big up and coming field that it's like you can see it under, if you're like want to research it, it's like cognitive motor training or perceptual cognitive training. We call it perceptual cognitive motor training because it incorporates all three, but that's basically the idea of it.
So when you're building this, what kind of science, do you lean on? I know it's like neuroscience is the top level, but how do you go? Like, did you play baseball? Did you play basketball? Like, what do you do to like get all the sports specific stuff?
Yeah. So the The general theoretical framework is called ecological validity, which means making it more replicable to what you experience during games will have better transfer to games, which the whole purpose of training is to improve your performance during games, right? It's not just to get better at physical skills, it's to be able to use them in games. So that theoretical framework is what it's based off of. And then the practical application of it is depending on the sport. So it's like understanding of the sport. So I have a very good understanding of soccer, basketball, baseball. I played those a lot when I was younger as well. But when you get more experts in those fields, like we have a huge user base now, we have like professional UFC fighters who are using it to replicate those type of situations. Then it comes down to like the actual professional application of it.
So I can use your app and replicate getting punched in the face by an MMA fighter. That's that sounds a lot like entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So maybe you should do an iteration of this that is like rapid fire startup founder reactions. Cause man, that could probably be, we've joked around about having like trainer apps or something for startup founders to be like, your reaction is, all right, so your lead developer just quit and now you're screwed. What do you do next?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You just got to keep rolling with it 100%.
The punched in the face example was pretty strong there. So, because now as a startup founder yourself, what have been some of the hurdles or things that you've had to overcome, or what have you had to optimize at your business to grow this business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot. Coming from the sports world, I think a lot of what I was taught is to prove everything through action. So a lot of what we're doing now is like fundraising, right? And it's all pitching. It's getting your pitch right. It's getting your deck right. Communication, very clear and concise communication. What I was always taught, I mean, I was a leader on a lot of my teams. I was captains, but I was never a very outspoken leader. I wasn't, you know, getting everybody pumped up with these big motivational speeches. I did everything through action. So I would stay after, and not because I wanted to like prove a point, because I genuinely wanted to become the best player I could. And I wanted my teammates to do the same. So I do everything through action, and it worked that way. But now coming into entrepreneurship, there is that aspect to it. Like people see when you're putting in the work, people see what you're doing. But also for me, being able to communicate better, which is awesome, like hopping on podcasts like this with you, because this is practice for me, right? Being able to communicate things to investors and to your team and to make sure everybody's on the same page. That's one of the main things that the transition for me, that's probably been the hardest.
So same with sports and entrepreneurship, mentors, coaches, guides, people that take an interest in optimizing your performance. Who's done that for you when it came, not in sports, but with your startup?
Oh, unbelievable amount of people. That's when I started like spreading the idea around. I started talking to like my professional coaches. So I had coaches who, ended up helping out the business that were at like Manchester United. I'm like very well-known places. So once that side was like, there was like validity there, I started talking to like just my brother's friends, and I ended up having like advisors, like our head of marketing, his name is Stefan. He came on early on, and I was just like talking about all the crazy things that this can do in like fitness and healthcare and military. And he's like, we need to like write a mission statement. We need to like figure out your vision. We need to actually build a company around this, give you a strategy. And then it just kept flowing. The more that I kept working towards it, the more people came along to help me actually learn how to start the business. And I have an endless amount of people. I wish I would have written them down before this, because I just have so many people to thank that helped me actually turn this into a real thing.
I've been in that boat before where it's time to thank people and you're like, shit.
I know.
That's a long list.
I'm going to start thinking some. I'll give some shout outs at the end for sure.
Tattoo it down your arm. There you go. You always have it with you.
I need longer arms.
Just, yeah, no doubt. Just hope that those relationships stay constant as long as after you do that, because it would be weird. And also make sure you're probably married before that, because if you have a bunch of people's names tattooed on you, your future partner may have questions about who they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, what about like investment and fundraising? Like, what did that look like for your app?
It's an ongoing process. So, we are like just kind of getting towards the end of like family and friends. We've been doing it for about 2 years, but we've been very unbelievably resourceful, especially with the way social media is and just the virality of the product itself. Like one thing that I realized super early on is when putting out like a very basic beta of this app, it started getting traction from like some of the top athletes in the world, like MLB players, UFC players. People were sharing it all over Instagram, social media. So we didn't really need to raise a lot of money to get the traction. And then like my team, I've been just amazing to have an incredible team who's come along and sacrificed a lot of their time to help me out for very little right now. So right now we're raising our seed round. We got a little bit money in the door and we're able to start paying people, but it's still an ongoing process. And like I said earlier, it's the one thing I'm really adapting to throughout entrepreneurship right now.
How do you monetize your product? Is it like a subscription? Is it a one-time purchase?
Yeah, it's subscription. So it's like premium upgrades to get premium features.
Get punched in the face harder for a higher fee.
That's right. That's right.
There you go. Get Mike Tyson in there. And, you know, that's where that came from. You know, and so, and speaking of Mike Tyson, we love quoting him on this podcast because he said that everybody has a plan or had a plan until they got punched in the face. When it came to your plan, what part of it was way off?
I think the actual development itself. So the building of the product, right? Because I knew that early on from starting our social media pages that I can get traction through the top of the funnel. And then we need to build a better product. And I knew absolutely nothing about app development coming into this. Like I was the guy who was YouTubing what is like coding and stuff like that. So that actual process of knowing how to, in a lean fashion, like we don't have all the money in the world. So we have to test things early. We have to really iterate quickly. We got to do everything as lean as possible and like build, measure, learn that process. I think initially my head was that I'm going to draw up everything that this app is going to be, and then we're going to build it. Where instead we're like, there are so many things I had in my mind early on that just weren't useful. So I found out instead, like I should think up something that I think is going to be useful, give it to some people, see what they think, get feedback, and then use that to iterate. Because so many of like our insights from what we're doing now has come from like what our users are saying. So that process I think was probably the biggest.
I'm glad you learned that early, because that's what a lot of people don't. They're more concerned about what they want to build into an app than what the people that would use it want to build. And then they get stuck trying to build it forever and put it out there, realize that only a small portion of people wanted what it was they thought was important. And then they're like, oh, wow, we're running out of cash. Might need to figure this out. I talk to people about that all day. And that's also, you know, what we do over at fullscale.io, help people avoid many of these learning curves early on and hiring developers and building technology. It's hard, man. It's hard. People, like you said, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to draw this out on a piece of notebook paper and I'm going to give it to someone and it'll happen to work exactly within the timeline and the time frame and the budget that I want it to. And man, that is just not how it works, without a doubt. So in regards to that, let's expand on that a little more. Cause like what's something about the plan that went really well?
I think our marketing strategy went really well. So I think Stefan, the one I spoke about earlier, he helped me develop like this marketing strategy, and it was essentially tell my story, educate people, and then build a community, and then do that via social media through different types of content. And I just had, I probably spent 4 years on this pursuit to play professional soccer, which I know everybody wants to do. And I learned, just like you were saying with app development, you learn so much about what these pain points are, whether it's what your nutrition should be, whether it's how to recover properly, whether it's how to find an agent or how to find a professional team. And I just had so much information and I wanted to like give it in a scalable way. And using those three steps, telling my story, educating on it, and then building this community on social media, just by like putting out valuable, truly, truly valuable content, not really trying to drive sales, but just genuinely trying to help people, was so successful for us. And I think that's the one thing that went super well.
You know, there's all this info out there that tells you to do all these things, just like you mentioned, and build a community. And you need to get something that goes viral. Yeah. How am I supposed to do that? You know, and that's it. There's a whole lot of what out there, like as in what you need to do. There's limited how, and there's a lot of why. I see a lot of why stuff out there, but you know, when it comes to building an audience, whether it's a podcast or an online community or any of it, I mean, the real goal should be to get people within that community to interact with each other as much as they're interacting with you. The problem is an empty community is like an empty marketplace. And if you don't have buyers and sellers or A and B, then well, people walk in and they walk right back out. So when it came to getting that, it sounds like you got some, sports is definitely something that people have a lot of passion about, meaning they're willing to share it. They're training their kids to do it. They have their own memories of it. They like watching it. When it came to building the community though, what was the hardest part of it?
That's a really good question. Yeah, to be honest, it went really well for us. Like, so something about the product itself, this type of training, typically this type of reaction style training, people will call it, or like cognitive training, it is something that people like to post about. So once people saw the app, they like, we've had like 6,000 people who have taken videos using the app and then posted it, and which really was like that, that user-driven content that built the community. If I would say the most difficult, especially going through this process and learning so much about, you know, sales cycles and marketing and ways to do it, I do tend to get trapped. I do tend to get towards that area where it's, you're not thinking about building community, you're thinking about selling, right? You want to sell your product. Obviously, that's the goal. And I'll see I'm posting things to sell and we're not getting nearly as much traction anymore. And I'm doing like what people are telling me to do, like use these call to actions, use these, which are important, but I'm missing the fundamental piece, which is genuinely putting out valuable stuff that helps people. And then when I get back into that mindset, that's when it starts coming back through. So I think it's always keeping that in mind, like them in mind, and like genuinely building a community and not just trying to sell things. You know, there's a time and place. There's a book, Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vee. That's an awesome one, which really goes through this exact process.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole content game, it changes rapidly, you know, and you mentioned Gary Vee, and he's one of the spokespeople on that. And, you know, I'm already seeing it change. You know, I just went through a whole bunch of stuff that we do at Full Scale and Startup Hustle. I basically just did an audit of everything, an engagement audit. And I'm like, if people aren't engaging with whatever, we're stopping doing it now. And, you know, really trying to tone things down in the regards that like it needs to offer some valuable something. So that means you have to entertain someone, you have to educate someone, or you have to stir up some kind of emotion in them that they feel like sharing, talking about or reacting to. That's tough because a lot of people, I don't know, the whole meme culture. Like, it's just like it. So if you're posting stuff and you get one like and four views, stop doing it. It's fucking pointless. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. There was always things in sports. There were some things that we practiced here and there. And I'm like, why do we do this? You know, yeah. I'm like, this is never, ever going to happen to me. But yet we feel like we should do that. So, all right. Now, obviously with sports, you learned a lot about wins and losses. You also learned a lot about taking feedback. How do you think your history as an athlete affected you in a positive and a negative way as a startup founder?
I think just that, what you said is like taking feedback. So especially when you're at like the professional level, I think taking feedback, so like listening to what your coaches are saying or listening to what your players or your teammates are saying, and just really being outcome driven. So there's a lot of people who I talk to who like to, like, they overthink things, right? And they never actually put things into practice and get to see if these things work. I think with soccer, I've been very good at just taking everything into practice. Like, I would learn something and I would actually try it. And if it would help me improve, I'd keep going with it. And that's something that I took into business that I think has been very helpful. Something that's kind of been a fault, I think, goes back to what I said earlier, where it's, I focus so much on doing things through practice and I don't spend enough time trying to learn how to communicate them clearly and properly to the right audience. And I can, I think that's, yeah, that'd be the biggest things that, that kind of pushed me back.
It just made me think of the Allen Iverson press conference talking about practice. Do you know that one?
Oh yeah. Practice.
Yeah. I think anyone that's ever played sports knows what I'm talking about right there. Now, when it comes to sports, one thing I've noticed, and you know, I'm getting up there. I'm 45 years old now and I've done a lot of things over the years. In my experience, people looking that I like hiring. Man. Yeah. Thanks. I like people that have participated in team sports for many of the reasons you just mentioned. Like there is exactly that, a team mentality to it. You know, a little personal tidbit about myself, and I didn't play last year because of COVID, but I went and played on an adult baseball team where 45 is the oldest you can be. So I was the oldest, pretty much worst player on the team, but I actually loved it because I got to show up and just be like a role player guy. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You want me to get hit by a pitch? Do you want me to I'll coach third base, like do whatever. And it was really, it was important because it, you know, once a week was reminding me of do what you need to do to help your team win, not do what you need to do to make yourself look or feel good. And that's a tough thing. You know, another thing too, is I think with coaching, well, it's feedback all day. And depending who your coaches were, you may have learned to take varying degrees of quote feedback, you know, and that's the whole point. I think that's where a lot of sports is good for kids. Now with sports, maybe not always with soccer, you don't always have a win or a loss. I'm not a big fan of the tie, by the way, or a draw or whatever you want to call it.
That's a frustrating thing about soccer. Mm-hmm.
I think there should be a decided outcome to all sporting events, but that's for a different show. Maybe we can debate the tie or draw. But what does winning look like at your business? Like what's a win?
I think there's wins every day, right? So we do a lot of goal setting and things like that. Something that I preach that I'm very passionate about is instead of super focused on like these tangible things, like hitting a certain MRR or hitting some certain number of users, which is important. I think the only way to get to that is to win by focusing on your effort every single day and knowing that you're doing the right things every single day and like setting up your weeks in terms of this is what I want to accomplish. I want to work this amount of hours and I want to be fully focused. I want to be working deeply for it the entire time. And that's a win for me every single day. And it's the same thing that was the same exact thing with soccer. Like my goal was to become a professional soccer player. But if I just thought about that all day, I would get nowhere. It was about thinking about what the process is and loving the process every single day and enjoying it. And that's something I'm starting to do with business. And every time I do that, and I know, even if it's not the best day, if I focus on it and I know what my end goal is and why I'm doing it, that's a win for me. So doing those every single day.
People regularly ask me how they can make more money. And my response is quit focusing on money. Mm-hmm. You got to be good at something. You got to get really good at something. The money is often a reflection of how good you have gotten at something. Absolutely. And that takes time. It takes effort and it takes a lot of self-discipline, you know, still in the vein of sports. I mean, that's another thing too, is like, you don't want to do it every day. You can love the game, but there's just like, it's physically draining. So is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is those that are willing to tough it out and are willing to stick with it and are willing to do it through a time that they wanted to quit. So has there actually been, have you had that coin toss moment yet where you wake up and you're like, all right, cool. Heads, I'm going to keep doing this, and tails, I quit.
So it doesn't really work like that for me. I take some time to decide what I'm going to get into. But when I do, I'm more obsessive about it than probably anybody will run into. So for soccer, for instance,
your coin toss was early. You had yours before the game.
That's
some people have it at halftime though. You're down 4-0. You're like, I'm fucked. I'm not going to win this. So I quit. And that's their coin toss. But you still have it because you decided to go all in right away.
Yeah.
The coin toss. The coin toss though.
Very true.
And that's a very binary thing. It really is. Like I wrote about it in my book, Million Dollar Bedroom, because we had a business that my wife was working with me and it had gone well, but I had one point where I looked at it and I was like, God, I used to make so much more money working for someone else, like a lot more. And you know, this might work and it might not. And we're like, fuck it. We said toss a coin. I didn't actually flip the coin because she looked at me and she's like, are you really gonna quit if it's tails? And she's like, well, then you already decided.
So what was it then? If it wasn't the money, what was it for you?
You know, I didn't want to work for other people. I didn't want to work for other people. Autonomy. And you know, like it was just there. That's the thing is there's a million frustrating moments and little notches in the timeline that give you the opportunity to bail. And, you know, it's like, you got to believe in what you're doing. And it's kind of a finicky science too, because the part of the problem that you can get yourself into is some businesses aren't meant to succeed. Sorry, they're not. Like if everyone was going to be a remarkably successful entrepreneur, then everyone would become an entrepreneur. So some businesses have fundamental flaws in a number of different ways and things. And that doesn't mean you ride it to death. You're not like, oh, I'm going down with the ship because I'm the captain. There's times when you got to hold the course and you got to tell the crew, it is going to be really stormy. Tie yourself to the boat because you might go over, but we'll pull you back in. You know, and so some of that is tough, but you know, I realized our business had a high upside, but much like most businesses are early, we were resource strapped and I got real creative. I actually funded that business with a stack of credit cards that my poker buddies gave me.
That's so badass. I love it.
It was crazy, but you know, that was the problem we had. You know, it's like we started with very little to no resource and then you're trying to build it and you get stuck behind these like, well, this was in 2009, 2010. So, I mean, the sophistication of electronic payments and certain things you were transferring, a lot of stuff, it was just slow. You're like still waiting for checks to arrive and clear on some days. And, you know, and that gets frustrating. And if you've had, and that's it's the founder's dilemma, you know, it's like
great book.
You run into it. And I had been, oh, is that a book?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I thought you knew that. Oh, no, it's exactly what you're talking about, though.
There you go. No, the founder's still, I'll cross that off my list of books to write next to. But no, that founder's dilemma is if, especially if you've experienced success professionally, is like, well, that's honestly the easy way. I'm not saying your job is inherently easy, but if you're getting paid and you know you're getting paid, that's not something that you can always guarantee as an entrepreneur. So now when you're younger, and I think that's why you see a lot of people take a shot at entrepreneurship. And that's also the hardest time to be an entrepreneur because you have no cred, man. You usually haven't made any money. You haven't made any experience and it's tougher to get people to buy into what you're doing. And that'll bring me to the next question. So does your experience and your history as an athlete, did that make it easier to gain cred and talk to like build the product and say, hey, look, I've trained, I've done this on a professional level. This is where we could improve, or this is what's great. And like, I mean, that's the thing is until people see winning, they don't know what winning looks like and they might not ever.
Right. Yeah. No, it was super helpful. 100%. And it's not just like having credibility, it's genuinely having the knowledge. So like I knew these things were happening, not only because I experienced them personally, I did the research. I spent months with my neuroscience professors and our head of science now, Ryan Glatt. He's one of like the top neuroscientists in this area of combining physical and cognitive training. We dove through the research and really like figured out what this is and what it can be and put it into practice. I went out and I used the app every single day. I went out and I found kids training at the park and said, hey, try this out. Give me your feedback. And that's how I gained the credibility. And yeah, just genuinely like having that background to it was super helpful.
So a couple random questions for you here, because you used a trigger word of obsessed earlier. So do you consider yourself to be driven or obsessed?
Wow. I'd say a little of both. That's a tough one.
You can't. You got to pick one. And by the way, there's no real right answer. Yeah, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I would say obsessed. It used to be like a derogatory term. It seems like one, but that's just the way I am. So I don't care a lot about a lot of things, right? I care about my family, my health, my relationships, and I care about what I'm passionate about, which is this. And what I'm passionate.
Nope. And we lost Brett. And he's back. Sars. There you go.
There. Where'd you lose?
That was probably, I don't know, but we were talking about being driven and obsessed.
Yeah.
Or obsessed.
Right, right. So yeah, I mean, I'd say obsessed, but in a good way, right? So I know I'm doing this for the things. So I was getting into when I was pursuing my soccer career, I would write down in my journal every single morning the purpose for me doing it. And it was because I actually believed that I could change the world by being great at my sport. And I didn't necessarily know how I was going to do that, but I truly, truly believed it down to my soul. And that's what gave me like the grit, right? So in business, I can learn a lot of things. I can read a book and learn marketing. I can learn sales. I can learn strategy, product, whatever it is. But grit isn't something you can learn in a book. It's something that you actually have to do something really, really hard for a long period of time and keep doing it. And that's something I already like proven. Like I was sleeping in garages. I was recycling water bottles to pay for groceries. I was completely broke in random countries where I didn't even speak English. I've been through all that. So doing this, when I knew I had that same passion about it and I looked up, like I did, I understood what entrepreneurship was like through reading it. I was like, yeah, I've been through that process before. I'm willing to do it again for this because I know I'm doing it for the right reasons. And when I do that, like I'm fine being obsessed with it because that's the only way to get great at anything.
Yeah. And you know, I've got a list. There's this fine line. It's like what's the difference between being genius and being crazy? Mm. It depends who you ask. True. And it's really an outside perception, you know, like I'd say I'm driven. My wife would say I'm obsessed with a lot of things, you know, and we're both right. You know, and
it's semantics.
Well, but those are powerful words because there's a big difference between genius and crazy. And that's usually like, I mean, I've had a lot of interesting answers for a lot of those. So you talk about that kind of ups, downs, the grit, the determination, the self-discipline. You know, how have the things that you've learned from all that transformed you as a leader, a professional, or even just a person?
Oh, they've literally changed my life. Like that process has completely changed my life. And I think my worry coming out of soccer was that there was nothing that would replicate that experience that I loved so much, which was chasing after something that you have to be disciplined for. That is like, there's a cost to everything. So if you want to achieve anything great, there's going to be a cost for it. And I wanted to find something where I could sacrifice enough to achieve something great enough. And I was, you know, looking for everything. And when I came across this app, this is when I realized like the upside is worth it. The upside is worth going through all this. And those skills just really transferred right over. I think the way that they're portrayed or the way that you use these skills, like obviously they're not physically and like you don't like in soccer, you would yell a lot, like you'd scream at people. And obviously you can't do that in a business setting. You learn how to communicate with people. You understand people better. But overall, just the mentality and the grit that's involved is the number one thing that's transferred over for me.
Technically, you can yell at them. They just probably won't stay around for too long to get yelled at. So once again, with me today, I got Brett Johnson, the founder and CEO of the Switched On training app. There's a link in the show notes where you can learn more about what they do. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And with that, we are going to move on to the way I end my shows, which is the Founders Freestyle. I say my shows because I'm not the only host of Startup Hustle. Make sure to tune in on Tuesdays and Thursdays Tuesdays, you can join Andrew Morgans to talk primarily about e-commerce and Amazon-related stuff, and join Innovate, her founder, Lauren Conaway, as she talks about a whole lot of stuff on her show, too. Make sure you check out what they're doing. If you didn't get enough Startup Hustle out of that, then come on over to YouTube and check out the new web series we just launched, where we are doing our best to show you what entrepreneurship looks like through the lens of real entrepreneurs. Because why wouldn't a show about startups also have a startup of a TV show itself? Watch us try to figure that shit out. On some days we're good at it, on some days we're not, but overall it's coming out pretty well. Make sure to tune in and probably drop out afterward, actually, because you probably want to start a startup and be an entrepreneur. So now I end my shows with Founders Freestyle, and Brad, I'd like to ask, like, what would you like to say to the startup founders out there listening, whether they already have a startup or want to start one?
I would say always keep the customer in mind. So there's so much that gets brought up as you grow in terms of, KPIs and different metrics, and which are all super important. But I think always focusing on the customer and what the problem is, like the way I see creating a startup, the whole purpose of it is because you experienced a super big problem that you wanted to solve. And always keeping that in mind, because not only is that going to give you the energy to keep going, it's going to make sure you're focusing on the right things and just continue grinding. Find good people along the way. I don't know. There's so much here.
That's why you get to freestyle. You just kind of spit it out and see what happens. I mean, overall, I think the few takeaways you have here is, you're listening to yet another story of a startup founder that had the grit and determination to do what needed to be done to get things started. I mean, it was bootstrap defined, like talking about selling recycling water bottles. I mean, we've had people on the show before that gave blood. Like gave plasma to fund their startups and stuff like that. And I mean, the real question is how bad do you want it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that really on so many days as an entrepreneur, because I'll be honest, it's not always the smartest, best, all of that. Well, I'll retract the best, but it's about staying in the game. And, too many people enter the game expecting success right away. Good luck. Yeah, it's not how it works. At least most of the time it doesn't. It's very rare when it does. And even the people that experience some form of success early get to deal with a different set of problems. Kind of like at Full Scale, we had 100 employees at the end of our first year.
Yeah.
So we experienced immediate success and then had a world of other shit to figure out and solve. Like, oh God. And then we have 200 employees at the end of 2 years. It's just like, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a business without problems, much like there is no such thing as software without bugs. I'll see you down the road, Brett.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. Thanks for joining me.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.